employment by your employer, and companies often use these to keep disgruntled employees from spilling the beans. Well, the Labour Court recently had a look at when these should not be enforced, and to talk about what the court found and what it reveals, I'm joined now by Johan Buitenhek, who heads the employment and compensation practice at Baker & McKenzie in their Joburg office. Good evening, Johan. It's been some time. Hope you've been keeping well.
Michael, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. We have. Thank you very much, man. I'm glad to hear that you and the family as well. Yes, it's a really interesting matter that came to us from the Labour Appeal Court in this case, and the court critically scrutinised, you know, these confidentiality clauses in settlement agreements. In this case, this was a general confidentiality clause that arose from a recruitment process. But the principles that the court looked at there, we can extrapolate into confidentiality clauses, into settlement agreements as well, and see what the court's thinking is into under which circumstances, you know, we should give effect to these confidentiality undertakings, and under which circumstances, you know, they actually go against what we're trying to achieve within society.
Johan, how common are these particular clauses in South Africa? How often do we see them employed?
Michael, it's a fairly frequent occurrence, and I must say, let me put my colours to the mast. I'm all in favour of employers and employees reaching agreement on resolving their employment disputes. You know, our system is not geared for every single employment dispute to be subjected to the labour adjudication process. Our courts and employment tribunals just cannot deal with the volume of cases that would otherwise arise. Where we have to draw the line, though, and this is a very timely a reminder by the Labour Appeal Court as well, is to say that there are certain issues that are wider and bigger than just a dispute between an employer and an employee, where as a society, we should say, but hang on, this is something that cannot be brushed under the carpet, and neither the employer nor the employee should be encouraged or dissuaded from raising the alarm about things that go wrong. So it's a fairly common thing for employers and employees, especially at executive level, to reach agreement to part ways where they just don't see eye to eye anymore. And confidentiality clauses are standard in those type of agreements. But in certain circumstances, the court said that and reminded us that, you know, it's not going to force an employee to remain mum about things that have gone on in the workplace merely just because there's a confidentiality clause in the agreement that says that you or she should.
And I think it's got particular relevance in South African society, as you say, where we've seen so much corruption, malfeasance in the private sector, in the public sector as well. So what are those instances in which the court will say, hang on, you can't contract out of an obligation to actually almost be blowing the whistle here?
Sure. So the facts of the Labour Appeal Court matter was that the employee in the confidentiality agreement undertook not to disclose what was discussed or said or took place during the recruitment process. And there it then came out subsequently that there was a manipulation of the candidates in the process. And the court said that notwithstanding the confidentiality clause in the agreement that she signed, she could not be precluded from raising this in an arbitration process that she was involved in subsequently. So the court made the point to say that in legal proceedings where you are called to discuss or to say what happened in the workplace, if there was wrongdoing that took place there, a confidentiality clause cannot and should not prevent you from spilling the beans and saying this is what went wrong there. So is that connection between the legal proceedings and wrongdoing.
Right.
But we can also look at the other phenomena that occurs frequently, where there's actually a crime that takes place. So, for instance, in the example of fraud in the workplace, an employer cannot induce an employee into signing a settlement agreement where the quid pro quo is that if you sign this agreement, you go quietly and you agree not to say what's happening in the workplace, I won't go to the police and report the matter to the SAPS. That is it's a common law offence called compounding, whereby I benefit from not prosecuting a crime, a serious crime, in return for keeping quiet. And that is another example where the court will not sanction such an agreement. So employers and employees should be aware of the fact that You know, you cannot induce somebody into signing an agreement where the benefit that you get out of that is that the employer or the employee will not go to the authorities to lay a complaint about a serious crime that's been committed or has been committed.
Well, I think a judgment that's certainly to be welcome in a society where we need greater transparency and we need more sunlight, not more secrecy, especially when we're talking about wrongdoing here or particular potential criminality. That was Johan Burtus, who's head of the employment and compensation practice at Baker & McKenzie, lifting the lid on gag orders in the Hot 1027 Labour feature brought to you by Momentum Corporate. Momentum, here for you on your journey to success. Momentum Metropolitan Life is an authorized financial